You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Tuesday to you. It's Tuesday, December the 18th. Hey, Sixers had a rough night. I would say my night was a little bit rougher, but it really was. I mean, let's just say my morning was. We'll get into that a little bit, but just to give you a little brief thing. Remember I told you yesterday about, you know, travel day and how, you know, I want to get sleep. When I arrive to a town, especially on a back-to-back, you know, you tend to get there like 12 o'clock, sometimes 10 o'clock. Hey, who knows? Sometimes early as 8 o'clock in the morning, depending on your flight that you can get out. And you say that you want to get down and you want to get some rest and whatever. Well, my flight was delayed. My second flight was delayed because I had to get a connector in Dallas. So I got here kind of late. I wanted to get a workout in, so I got my workout in. And next thing you know, I couldn't sleep. So I went for a walk, right? So the game comes on, or it starts, and I'm starting, my eyes are getting a little bit heavy. So I'm fighting through it. And, it was a bad game. I mean, the Sixers lost to the Spurs 123-96. But I was fighting through it, fighting through it. You file your stories. And then next thing you know, I get back to the hotel and I go to sleep for a couple hours, just a couple hours, and oversleep. Yep, overslept. So I rush to the airport, and here I am right now. I'm in Terminal A at 816 in the San Antonio airport. Which you can see me, I'm literally like sitting on the ground, on the carpet, with my laptop in front of me, my phone up to my face, like dang near kissing the phone while I'm talking to you guys, you know, getting this podcast. And you can hear the people in the background, I guess the lady over the intercom. But yep, here I am, overslept at the airport, about to hop on this flight in a little bit. But I wanted to give you this podcast to talk about last night's game. Now, last night's game to me, and I remember yesterday I said that this is going to be the test. We'll see how much the Sixers improved. You know, going into the game, you know, I even said it was a bad matchup for the Sixers. I mean, it was. I mean, the guys I mentioned, you know, talking about LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, and Rudy Gay, they dominated and dogged the Sixers. I mean, they just did. And something, it just seems like, the reason why I wasn't surprised is because when you have a guy like Rudy Gay who can create his own shot, who can score off the dribble, right? And then you have a guy like DeMar DeRozan who does the same thing. And LaMarcus Aldridge is just a bad matchup for the Sixers. Bad matchup for Embiid. I mean, it just seems like he's one of those guys that you look at him, he's fundamentally sound. He's not flashy. You know, he's kind of, some people may say he's effective, but he has a boring game, a boring type of game, right? So you see guys like this, and they tend to be the guys that give Embiid and the Sixers the biggest hits. And last night was no different. I mean, he had 20 points on 8-for-14 shooting. He was 4-for-4 from the foul line. You know, he had 10 rebounds. He had 2 assists. And 3 block shots. 3 block shots, right? He did all that in 27 minutes and 5 seconds, right? So then let's go to Rudy Gay, who led the team in scoring, right? He had 21 points. He was 10 for 15. Man, he would have been 9 for 10 if my man didn't go 1 for 5 on threes. I mean, he was just doing, like, he was just getting wherever he wanted to get to. You know, he just wasn't hitting his shots from the three. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, right? He had 21 points. He did that in 29 minutes and 36 seconds. And then DeMar DeRozan, who has been the Sixers' killer during his time in Toronto, This guy, he was 9 for 16. He had 20 points, right? He had 6 rebounds, a game high, 7 assists, 1 foul, and he did that in 29 minutes, 29 seconds. Now you come over to the 76ers, right? And a couple weeks ago, I said that the Sixers only have four dudes that they can depend on. They have to depend on them heavily. You know, I know that because the bench is depleted, and when you have like Mike Muscala, you know, Mike Muscala played okay. He had a solid game on the offensive end, but they're four guys. They're four starters. Two of these guys, no, take that back. Three of them have to have a solid game for the 76ers to win. Three of them, 3 to 4, right? And that's excluding Muscala because he's not a starter. He comes off the bench. And I'm talking about Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, J.J. Redick, and Ben Simmons. Three of them have to have a solid game. And preferably, you know, one of them has to go off, right? Well, it didn't happen. So you look at it right now, you see Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons had 16 points. He was 7 for 10. He had 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He had 3 turnovers, right? Defensively, he struggled. I mean, he struggled against Rudy Gay. Right? Then you have J.J. Redick. Did okay. You know, 16 points, 7-11 shooting, 2 for 4 on threes. He had 3 rebounds. He had 1 steal, 1 assist, right? But then let's go to Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid. Joel had his hands full, y'all. He had his hands full against Aldridge. Joel had 13 points on 6 for 17 shooting. He was 0 for 6 on threes. He had 11 rebounds, which was a game high. He had 5 assists. He had 4 turnovers, which was the highest total of turnovers in the game. 1 above with Ben having 3. And he had 13 points. I mean, after the game, he talked about he needed to be a little bit more aggressive. He wasn't. And then you had Jimmy Butler, who had in my opinion, he had his worst game as a Sixer. His worst game. You know, I know early on he came, he wasn't really doing anything, but this was his worst game. Jimmy Butler had 6 points on 3 for 13 shooting. He had 3 rebounds. He had 1 steal. He didn't have a turnover, though. And he had 2 assists. And, you know, he said his struggles on defense are kind of, well, no, he was trying to do too much, right? He was trying to do too much, and it affected him on the other end of the floor. You know, he was trying to, you know, make things happen, and that just kind of, like, backfired on the offense, on the other side. And, you know, defensively, as a unit, the Sixers just struggled. I mean, you know, San Antonio shot 56.3%. I mean, 56.3%. They were 94.1% on the foul line. They made 16-7 free throws. Everyone who played besides Dante Cunningham on their team scored at least 4 points. Cunningham only attempted 1 shot. He missed it. He played 13 minutes and 27 seconds. He didn't score at all. But everyone else who played scored. I mean, and they emptied the roster on the Sixers. So everyone played. Everyone who was able to play, like the guys who weren't injured. But, you know, they just emptied the bench and opened up a can on the Sixers. And I'm telling you, like, Brett Brown after the game was saying how they just didn't bring it tonight. Yeah, I mean, he don't know if it was back-to-back or not, but they just didn't have that spirit. I mean, sometimes it's more than just spirit. I mean, they just don't have the players. I mean, and here's the deal. Like, T.J. McConnell was a little frustrated after the game. No, I'm not saying no drama with anyone else. He was frustrated with himself. He was disappointed. He had 4 points on 2-for-7 shooting. He had 4 assists, 2 turnovers, and a steal. Now, T.J. McConnell... was in a bad situation all night. They had him guarding DeMar DeRozan. Now, my question to y'all is, T.J. McConnell is listed at 6'2". If T.J.'s 6'2", that's a stretch. I mean, he may be, but he's no bigger than that. DeMar DeRozan is 6'7". He's an all-star. And T.J. McConnell had to guard him. So he was already at a huge disadvantage. And I give him credit. He tried, but he just can't. He couldn't do it. He can't do it. That's a bad matchup for him. You know, and then like I talked about Muscala. Yeah, Muscala played well. He was 4-for-8. He made 3 of 4 threes. I mean, his 3 threes were the most in the game. He had 11 points. But Landry Shamet went back to looking like a rookie. He was 1-for-6 overall, 1-for-3. He had 3 points. Shake Melton came in and garbage time, basically the last 8-0-5. He had like 4 for 7 overall, 2-for-3 on threes. He had 10 points. But again, was the game already over? Yeah. Furkan Korkmaz struggled. I mean, Furk was 2-for-8 overall, 1-for-5 on threes, and he had 5 points. So when I'm saying that these guys are struggling, I mean, you have to just realize that the bench just needs help. I know the 76ers, you know, you got some guys in the ownership group talking about they don't know if they want to trade Markelle Fultz yet. And I can understand that now. I mean, because you can use Markelle. I mean, if Markelle could get his stuff together, you can use him. I mean, if he can, you can use him. The question is, though, I mean, is it good using him as a backup point guard? I mean, right now, like, you know, I mean, I know you still think that could work out, him and Ben, but Markelle needs the ball in his hand. Ben needs the ball in his hand. That's a different story. But at this particular time, I you know, they could use him, but they also have an open roster spot. I think it's time. I know. Yeah, everyone says, you know, Brett Brown says, big picture, they're going to wait. But I think it's time to try to fulfill that spot because evidently this team isn't quite good enough to be the elite team, or they can't make stops when it's against perimeter players, guards who could create their own shots. I mean, you know, you can say, hey, Rudy Gay – and DeMar DeRozan didn't score 30 like other guys have. But come on now. If they had played more, they could have had 40. I mean, let's just be real. So the Sixers need some help. They also need some front court help. You know, they just do. They need some help. So, I mean, you have an extra roster spot. I mean, as some of these guys, I don't expect that, you know, come the trade deadline, that this roster will be the same. And I'm not just talking about Markelle Fultz if they get rid of him, but I just don't see it. Like, this team is not good enough to win, to go deep in the playoffs. It just isn't. It isn't. That's just how it is. And when I get back, y'all, I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about my trip and how this thing goes. Okay. So, you know, we talked about the game, and I know some of you guys are saying, hey, what are you doing sleeping? I mean, like, you overslept your flight, this and that, yada, yada. You know, on back-to-backs, it could be tough on a reporter at times. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it was funny. when I got to the arena, I saw J.R. Aquila, you know, he works for NBC Sports Philadelphia. You know, he's the the lead guy of their, you know, for the TV show. He's like the producer. He's the main producer. And, you know, they fly with the team. And, you know, he was talking to me and he was saying, like, you know, when did you get in? And I told him. And, you know, he had that look like, wow, wow. And I said, look, JR, you know, there's 100 million people out there. I know that's a stretch. I know it's a stretch, but keep up with the good lie. Keep up with the good lie. It's like, nah, keep up the story. But there's a lot of people out there who would love to do what I do. So I never complain about travel. I just don't. And, you know, so, you know, I got here a little bit late. You know, I couldn't sleep, couldn't rest, whatever. But that's me. I rested a little bit on the plane flying, like my flight from Dallas to San Antonio. But I can never complain about my flight being delayed or this and that. I mean, I have yet to miss a game, you know, and that's the reason why I always get up early, try to get the first flight. But it is what it is, you know, it's just one of those things. This is part of it. So a lot of times, you know, people see us at the games and they see you, you know, doing stuff, but it takes a toll. It can take a toll on your body. You know, it's like, that's why they always say exercise. That's why they always say make sure whenever you can, like Marcus Hayes, you know, a colleague and a good friend of mine, you know, he, when I first got on the beat, he told me, he said, look, man, you know, there are going to be some days where you're going to be on the road. And there's going to be people who are going to say, hey, Keith, we got some downtime. You want to go out and hang out? And he said, you know, what you need to do is you need to say, nah, bruh, I'm going to go in there in my room and I'm going to get some rest. And that's what you have to do because, you know, people see the glitz and the glamour. But, you know, right now I'm sitting on the floor of the air in Terminal A at A16, you know, basically, you know, doing a podcast. I mean, this is the stuff that people don't see. But you know what? I love my job. I love doing podcasts. I love traveling. And, it's a win-win for me. You know, it just is. It's a win-win. This is my 6th year doing it. I would love to do it for many more, God willing, or depending on how I feel at the end of the season. But, you know, I'm not going to complain. But what it is I'm just going to say that this is could be a little bit different than people think. And some of you people might ask, like, man, but why do you got to hop on the first plane in the morning when the game isn't until, like, 7 o'clock at night? Well, typically, they tell us to hop on the first plane because, you know, as we realize, you know, this is the winter. And you know, a lot of times you're traveling to different places or sometimes across the country. And with the winter, a lot of times due to the weather, you know, flights get delayed or get canceled. Now, let's just say if I have the 6 a.m. or the 7 a.m. flight, right? So if that flight gets delayed or canceled, then a lot of times I'll be able to get, you know, a ticket or a seat on maybe like 8, 9 or something like that, right? So you can get on there, so then you can still get out. But oftentimes, if you take a flight, let's just say if you take a flight like 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, and it gets delayed or it gets canceled, especially canceled, sometimes they say, hey, I'm sorry, but I can't get you there until tomorrow. And you're like, huh? What you mean? The game's tonight. Or the game, you know, something like that. I'm talking about, you know, the next day. I'm talking about flying out 6 a.m. like on back to back the second day to get to the second city. So that's the reason why. That's the reason why they always tell you. Now, if it's a regular game, and let's just say the Sixers will practice at 1 o'clock today's Tuesday. Let's just assume the Sixers are practicing at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. Well, I would go, 11 o'clock. I would go to practice, right? And then the team, they typically fly out of the airport at 3. So what I would do is I would go to practice, and I often will take maybe a 3 p.m. flight, or I would take a 5 p.m. flight, and sometimes later in the evening. And what I'll do is I will fly to said city then. You know what I mean? But when it's like the second day of a back-to-back, or on day, or when I'm coming back home, whenever I come back home, I always take the first thing smoking, because you never know what's going to happen. Like, some days the Sixers practice now on back-to-backs. The day after back-to-back, they're not going to practice. Like, today, they're not going to practice. But you take, typically take the first thing smoking, because, you know, you want to be on the ground at around 10 o'clock or whatever, just in case something happens. You know what I mean? You don't want to be like, hey, I'm in the air and I missed the news. So that's how it goes, you know? Now, the Sixers, they have the Knicks tomorrow. You know, I'm expecting the Sixers, like the funk that they were in last night, to linger. You know, I expect the Sixers to get out on the Knicks and play well. They're going to be at home. They're going to have the home crowd. You know, they were basically embarrassed last night. I don't think they're going to go for that again. So I think that they'll win this one. Also, the Knicks, you know, are a good team. Well, I ain't going to say a good team. Knicks struggling, but they're a young team. But the Sixers just are better. You know, they're just better than them. But when it comes down to, like, playing teams like San Antonio, you know, that has quality players who can create their own shot, you know, San Antonio has two all-stars, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, going up against Charlotte, going up against Detroit. I mean, guys who can create their own shot, you know, give the 76ers fit. You know, I just don't see the Sixers having a tough time against New York, the Knicks. I mean, this game may be a little bit closer than people expect. But ultimately, I see the Sixers coming out and getting a win. I want to thank you all for listening, and have a great day.